Welcome to the Inside Light podcast, a space for healing, self-connection, and all things spiritual. I'm Terry, also known in the sober world as Sassy Sober Mum, and I believe that within each of us lives a guiding light, a quiet, powerful presence that always knows the way. Here, we'll explore the many paths back to that light. Together, we'll dive into stories of healing, practices that bring us home to ourselves, and conversations about awakening. Those moments when we remember who we truly are. Whether you're seeking clarity, courage, or simply a reminder that you are not alone on your journey of life, this podcast is here to hold space for you. Because the light inside you has never gone out. It's always been guiding you, waiting for you to come back home. This is the Inside Light podcast. Let's begin. Hello, and welcome back to the Inside Light podcast with your host, Terry. I'm looking forward to today's podcast, actually. I have to say, since I started this podcast, I do get quite excited for recording new episodes. It is a passion project for me, but I also love the fact that I get to talk and get to share my views, my wisdom, and the things that I've learned or that I am learning. And I feel like in the sober world that I've been in now for 6.5 years, and more recently in the spiritual world or the world of spiritual awakening, I'm learning so much information, and some of it is just mind-boggling, really. And I feel passionately that if we all had access to some of this learning, to some of these resources, to some of these tools, that we would all live better, happier, richer, more peaceful lives. I really do. So I do feel a calling to try and share some of that information and push that out into the world in the way that I can do it best. You know, everybody has their communication styles, preferences. And sometimes when I listen to other podcasts or podcasters, I think, wow, these people sound so professional. Every now and then I'll have a thought, like, am I as professional as this? And, you know, they seem to articulate themselves in a certain way, which I really find appealing. And then I wonder, what's my communication style like? And what is it like when I share things to the world? But I then quickly get reminded, or should I say kind of guided internally, that my voice is special in its own way. And one of the gifts that I feel like I am fine-tuning is an ability to tell a story and to explain things in a way that might be more digestible and accessible to certain people. So I'm hoping that I am attracting those people into my podcast, and I'm hoping that those people learn something from the episodes. That is really at the heart of why I'm doing this. I'm passionate about sharing knowledge. I feel passionately about helping people. I feel very passionately about helping other women, because I already have a very close connection with women. Plus, I am a mother of 3 daughters and I am a woman myself. So I feel very safe and comfortable in this space. But that's not to say it's not for men either. So today I want to cover a topic that came to me whilst I have been reading a wonderful book by Dr. Wayne Dyer, who's actually passed now. He's written many books. I have a lot of his books waiting to go on my book list of next books to read. But the one that I've been reading over this past month or two is I Can See Clearly Now. And it's really about the story of his whole life, really, and his journey of spirituality and spiritual connection and connection with Source, and how prominent he became in the field of spirituality. And so it's been a really interesting book, and I have gained many, many, many insights. And I've ordered about another 5 books since I've just been reading this book alone, because he talks about the journey of how he writes all of his books. And so they all sound really fabulous. Anyway, so today is kind of based a little bit on some of the principles of his work. But many spiritual teachers, from, you know, people like Eckhart Tolle to Louise Hay, who I've become more familiar with recently, Michael Singer, Byron Katie, they've all shared wisdom about rising above the noise of the mind and softening the grip of the ego and aligning with a deeper truth of who we are. And I've been much more aware of my ego recently, and of other people's egos as well. And I'm trying to notice more and more in my daily life when I am speaking from a place of love and of peace and contentment, and when I'm speaking or operating from a place of ego. So the 4 principles that I want to explore today, which have come up from the book that I mentioned with Dr. Wayne Dyer, are: 1, banish the doubt; 2, cultivate the witness; 3, tame the ego; and 4, shut down the inner dialogue. So doubt is one of the biggest obstacles to living from our higher self. It often comes in whispers saying, you're not ready, you're not good enough, who do you think you are? But as Louise Hay reminds us, you've been criticizing yourself for years and it hasn't worked. Try approving of yourself and see what happens. To banish doubt doesn't mean it never arises. It means recognizing it as a thought and not a fact. We tell ourselves so many stories. In fact, we repeat the same stories pretty much every day. I think we have something like around 60 or 70,000 thoughts every single day. And a lot of those are just automatic thoughts, just whirring away on autopilot. And like I said, they're kind of a bit like recycled junk, really. They're just recycling the same sorts of thoughts. We're just recycling the same thoughts every day. A simple practice here is affirmation. Whenever doubt arises, replace it with a statement your higher self would say. For example, I am guided, I am capable, I am loved, or I'm exactly where I need to be right now. Sometimes in the heat of the moment when I feel very stressed, especially if I'm dealing with a lot of challenges with the children, sometimes I will actually repeat a mantra to myself to help myself calm down. And that is, this is not forever. This is not forever. This is not forever. And I just find that quite comforting. I don't know whether it's the process of actually just repeating something, but it's also the reassurance of, this is just a moment that you're in right this second, or right this moment. And this is not the summary of your life. It's almost a bit like that saying, you know, you're having a bad day, you're not having a bad life. Every time you choose belief over doubt, you strengthen trust in your higher self. As Deepak Chopra says, when you make a choice, you change the future. Choosing faith over doubt changes the entire trajectory of your life. The second principle is cultivating the witness. This is about stepping back and observing your thoughts and emotions without instantly reacting. Quite often when I'm coaching clients, I will say, you know, they might have a thought that comes up and then they will then attach a story to that thought. And I'll say the same thing. I'll say, don't make it mean more than it is. It's just a thought. It doesn't have to mean I'm not very good at this, I don't deserve this, you know, whatever other unsupportive stories that might branch off from that thought. Don't make it mean more than it is. Eckhart Tolle puts it beautifully, rather than being your thoughts and emotions, be the awareness behind them. So it's almost like that objectivity that comes into play. Notice the thought, but separate yourself from it. Imagine sitting by a river, the water flows by, you don't have to jump in. That's what thoughts are like. Cultivating the witness means learning to sit on the bank, to watch and to notice the flow, not be one with the water. You don't need to wait until meditation to practice this. For example, when irritation rises, pause and say, ah, I notice irritation is here. That small shift, naming it instead of becoming it, is cultivating the witness. This principle allows us to respond rather than react. It helps us to stay aligned with our higher self instead of being pulled around by every passing emotion. Now, let's talk about taming the ego. Michael Singer, author of The Untethered Soul, brilliant book, by the way, describes the ego as the voice in your head that constantly judges, compares, and defends. The ego says, I am what I have. I am what I do. I am what others think of me. It lives in fear and separation. When ego is in charge, life feels like a competition. You probably have some connection with that, because I think we all slip a little bit into that competitive mode. When we tame the ego, not destroy it, but just soften it, we make space for peace. One way to do that is by shifting from what can I get to how can I give. Every time you choose love over fear, generosity over comparison, you tame the ego. As Wayne Dyer once said, when you have choice between being right and being kind, choose kind. That's taming the ego in action. And Rumi, the 13th century poet, captured it perfectly. Try to accept the changing seasons of your heart, even if you never met them before. Ego resists change, but the higher self flows with it. The final principle is shutting down the inner dialogue, the constant chatter in our minds. And I have met many people that struggle with this, including myself. I've worked quite hard on this personally, but it is something you have to cultivate, in my opinion. It is something you have to be intentional about. And so that first step with awareness is really the key to unlocking a lot of this. Our inner dialogue often replays the past, it worries about the future, it narrates every single moment. But silence is where wisdom lives. Byron Katie teaches a beautiful way of quietening this inner voice through inquiry, asking, is it true? Can you absolutely know it's true? That simple questioning can dissolve so much unnecessary suffering. I actually encourage clients that I coach to journal around this whenever thoughts come up and they start witnessing them and paying attention to them and not becoming them, but being an observer of them. I ask them to write them down. And then I ask them to follow that practice of, okay, now ask yourself, is this really true? Is it a fact? And if the ego or the mind says, yes, it is a fact, it is true, the next thing I will prompt them is, okay, show me the evidence. And that's where a lot of things come unstuck, because there often isn't a lot of evidence for I'm always terrible at this thing or whatever the thought is. Or this, you know, in the sober world, for example, I've stopped drinking, so now I'm really boring. It's not true. And so that simple dissecting of, you know, the thought with the questions, trying to understand if it's really true. If it is true, show me evidence. Okay, I don't have the evidence. Okay, great. So it's not true. And what can we replace it with? Something that is more, I don't know, supportive, inspiring, uplifting. You don't need to silence your mind completely here. Just pause, breathe, and notice the space between your thoughts. Even a few seconds of stillness can connect you back to your higher self. As Rumi said, there is a voice that doesn't use words. Listen. The more we practice silence, whether through meditation, walking in nature, or simply mindful breathing, the more we discover the guidance and clarity that's always been within. So, to become masters of our higher selves, these four principles can guide us. One, banish the doubt. Let go of false stories of not enoughness. Two, cultivate the witness. Learn to observe instead of react. Three, tame the ego. Soften comparison and control and choose love. Four, shut down the inner dialogue. Embrace silence where wisdom arises. And I know some people, particularly neurodivergent people, will think, but my brain never stops. It never stops. And it's always chattering away. Well, actually, you can get into a practice here where you can sit for 2 minutes or for 5 minutes a day and just make that commitment to maybe play a piece, a really nice piece of soft music or your favorite song. I've got a piece of music. It's called the Devi Prayer, and I'm quite obsessed with it. It's actually 20 minutes. And on good days, I'll listen to the whole 20 minutes and I'll just breathe and listen into the music. And every time a thought comes up, I'll just label it as thinking and I'll let it go. And I'll go back to the music and back to breathing. But 2 minutes, 5 minutes every day, the consistency is the bit that's important here. Not how long you meditate for or how well you think you might be meditating. It's just allowing a little bit of clearing of the mind, an intentional clearing of the mind. And that does start to settle a very busy, chattery brain. It's one of those things that you have to see it to believe it, but to see it, you have to actually commit and do it. So that's my top tip for the day. See if you can just set up a 2 or 5 minute daily practice of just being still, being quiet, being intentional, and see how you feel a few weeks in. Be interesting to know. So these aren't one-time lessons, they're lifelong companions. Some days you'll catch yourself stuck in doubt or ego. Other days you'll touch moments of pure stillness, and both are part of the path of life. So I think the key message there is don't judge yourself either way. My invitation to you this week is to pick one of these principles and practice it in your daily life. Notice what shifts in your energy and your peace and your connection to your higher self. Thank you for joining me in this exploration of spiritual wisdom. Until next time, remember, you're already carrying the higher self within you. It's just about choosing to live from that place one moment at a time. So I do have some journal prompts as well. I think will be helpful for listeners. So where in your life do you think that you are criticizing yourself? What would shift if you chose approval instead of doubt? When was the last time that you were able to watch your thoughts instead of getting caught up in them? What did you notice? Where in your life do you feel the urge to be right, to compare or to control? What might kindness or service look like instead? How often do you give yourself space to hear the silent voice of your higher self? And how might living more from your higher self help walk others home too? Thank you so much for listening, and I will look forward to catching you next week. Have a lovely week, and until then, goodbye.